Hey, it's Scott Petrick with another episode of the Brown Zone Zone Coverage Podcast. And it's a special one, the rare playoff edition. The Browns clinched the postseason spot with the win over the Jets. Joe Flacco threw for 300 yards for the fourth straight game. The run game got back on track, and the defense was good again. Here to discuss the exciting time is Dave Chudowski of Go, the WKYC Morning News. Happy New Year, Chud.
Scott, Happy New Year to you, and what a way to start off the new year to talk about something we don't normally talk about, a Browns playoff berth, and this city is rocking right now.
Isn't it, though? I mean, it is an exciting time. You know, the fans got what they deserve, this team. You know, there are plenty of times during this season to worry, right? Could they overcome this injury? Could they overcome that one? And they've just overcome it all. And all of a sudden, they're 11-5 and locked up that number five seed.
Now, you were inside the stadium. I was not. I was watching it on TV. But I'll tell you, you know, where does this rank being inside that building with those fans as far as not the old stadium, not what we're just going back to 99, right? There's not a lot of amazing moments inside this new stadium. Where does this one kind of rank with the way the players were embracing the fans and vice versa and how that whole scene was? I mean, it's something like we haven't seen much of.
It's a great question, Chud. And I think, you know, I hate to be the, you know, recency bias prisoner of the moment, but I feel like it's at the top. You know, this is the first time this team has clinched a playoff berth at home with the full stadium since it came back in 99. Primetime game, the way they played, you know, the first half was unbelievable, scoring all those points. Joe Flacco up and down the field, Ronnie Hickman with the pick six. You know, Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, said it today. We're taping this Thursday afternoon. Said it today that he's been in the league for 31 years, and the atmosphere Thursday night at the stadium was in his top five. He's won a Super Bowl. So I think that just is in more evidence, another voice saying, yeah, it was really special. Obviously, the place is packed. You mentioned the Browns celebrating with the fans afterward. David Njoku drinking a beer, you know, with the fans. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be right at the top, Chud. I mean, that Baker game in 2018 was something, right? And I'll never forget what that felt like. But it was different because that was, oh my gosh, they've stopped losing, right? They lost however many, you know, or they hadn't won in however many games they had the one tie. It was like 21 game winless streak, right? So that feels different. That's like a kind of an exhale. This is a celebration and something that will continue into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a good point. XL is a good way to describe that one. But and listen, you had Run William Run and a few other individual moments. I remember, you know, just different wins like with the snow or special moments where you're like, oh, that was pretty cool to be a part of. But when you consider what was on the line on national TV, by the way, they own Thursday Night Football. They always seem to win on Thursday nights. And just, you're right. It is up there. Now, was that you banging on the trash cans that was so loud on the broadcast?
No, it was not. I went back and I watched it, the broadcast, and listened to it. I don't know if it was a trash can or, you know where the TV booths are, right? Like, I don't know if they were banging on, like, the siding of the window. Because we get that in the press box every once in a while, somebody will bang on the window. And it's really loud when they do it. And it's kind of rude and it upsets some of the writers.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell if that was it or if somebody really had like a trash can they were banging on.
It's been fun too on social media seeing the different things people are posting and the pictures of Flacco around town. And then the picture, I think it was Tom Withers. I don't know if you had it as well. The picture of him and all his kids and his wife. And Scott, you can't write these type of things. It continues to blow my mind that this is all happening with Joe Flacco. It really is. It's almost like a movie.
Yeah. And when you're in the middle of it, Chud, I think sometimes when you're in the middle, you lose sight of it, right? You lose sight of how special it is just because you're there every day. But I don't think, at least speaking for somebody that's, you know, in Berea pretty much every day, I don't think you can lose sight of how special, how unique this is, because it's to such a great degree that you're reminded of it all the time. I'm reminded of it every day, every hour of just how incredible it is that the Browns are 11-5 and going to the playoffs And not only is it quarterback number four, soon to be number five on Sunday, but it's all the injuries. It's 38-year-old guy who hadn't played all season. And then not only is he winning games, he's 4-1, four straight wins. The numbers that he's putting up, right? So it's all of this together. Plus, he's a likable guy. The fans have kind of embraced him, even though he used to be a Raven. Like, all that stuff plays into what incredible storyline this has been with Joe Flacco. And it's going to continue, right? It's at least it's going to continue into the playoffs. And for how long in the playoffs, we don't know. But, the way he's playing, I could certainly see them winning games in the playoffs, right? Like, to me, that is not an outlandish thing to say at all. And if you'd have said it 7 weeks ago, it would have seemed crazy.
Yeah, no question. And how about that offense and the points that they scored? It was incredible to watch Flacco do it again. And he just has the whole offense just working on obviously to go with the pun here, all cylinders.
Well, yeah, and it's the one game, the Houston game, it's deep passes to Amari Cooper. And then against the Jets, and it's not the first time, but you saw it, especially in that first half against the Jets, him finding David Njoku, right, for those catch and runs. And, I kind of wonder how the Jets could allow David Njoku to be so wide open on those. But he is. And I think part of that's the design, and part of it's respecting Flacco, ability to throw deep. And Njoku will be in as a, help and protection, and then release. And the linebacker drops deep enough, you throw it to him underneath, and he runs away from people. So it's all of it working together. But Flacco's able to do it in so many different ways. He gets out of the pocket and makes that flip to Jerome Ford when it looks like he's going to tuck it and run. And instead, he takes off, turns into a 50-yard touchdown. So he's just doing it in all these different ways. And, the word, and we talked about it last week, the word that comes to mind is sustainable. And it certainly feels sustainable.
How about these numbers now? Four straight wins. I mean, they're stacking wins together. That's what we always talked about needed to happen. 8-1 at home, Scott, and 30 points or more. They're 5-0, and lifetime 14-3 under Stefanski. So that's the goal, right? Get 30 points, and we're golden.
Right. Obviously, easier said than done, but yeah, I mean, you put up those points, and the four in a row, Chubb, they've never won five in a row since 99. So they have a chance to do it, and who knows? And it obviously doesn't mean anything. They're locked into their playoff spot, and it's Jeff Driscoll, a quarterback, and other people are gonna rest, and we'll talk about that. But if they have, as meaningless as it is, if they get that fifth win in a row, there's something to be said for that. And there's something to be said for getting 12 wins. And the only team to win 12 wins with the Browns was that 86 playoff team with Marty, right? So, like, it's some rare
Yeah.
air you're getting into when you start getting to 12 wins and you go 8-1. No Browns team had won eight games at home, right? And the 8-1 is the best winning percentage, at least since 99. I mean, that's really hard to do. And all these things are, a credit to the team, but a credit to Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. I saw that, and it brought back great memories of the 86 team that won 12 games. And it's crazy to think that that's the most they've ever won, and they have a chance to tie that. It is. That would be something special, no doubt. Now, actually, there'd be one extra game to do that now
Right,
with the
right.
schedule the way it is, certainly. But I'm going to bring back this topic, and we've talked about this before on the pod, maybe years ago. I did a story on this on Channel 3 Sports when it was Baker Mayfield, and right when he came in, there was all that feeling that maybe he was going to be the guy to lead us to the Super Bowl, right? Or that it could possibly be him. I remember doing a story on him, and I'm going to bring this back up, and something clicked this in my head. I can't remember where I saw it, but I'm going to ask you this: if Joe Flacco takes the Browns of the Super Bowl, does he become the biggest Cleveland sports figure ever, maybe even ahead of LeBron? I mean, if you think about that, it's not outlandish when you consider the quarterback position is maybe the most popular or important position in all of Cleveland sports. The Browns are more popular than the Cavs. That's what most people say,
Sure.
right? So I know that's a lot to say with LeBron and delivering a championship, but you know what I'm getting at. Does he become the like Like, is he the most popular guy ever?
Yeah, that's crazy thought, Chud. I don't think he passes LeBron, and I'm gonna say that that's because number one, LeBron's an Akron kid. Number two, the longevity of LeBron, right? The two stints here, how long he was here. I mean, there's a chance Joe Flacco plays. I mean, even if he won the Super Bowl, it would be 9 games, and then he could be gone,
Right.
right? Like, so I think, in the moment, it would feel unbelievable, and everybody in the world would, or everybody in Northeast Ohio would have a 15 Joe Flacco jersey. I think if you got away from it, it would feel different. Not any less special, and obviously be unbelievable. This team won a Super Bowl, and it'd be the Browns and the first time and all that, right? So we all know everything that goes into it. I just don't think it would have the longevity of a LeBron, but it would certainly be. I mean, it would, in my mind, it would be the best sports moment. I think you. I mean, and I hate to be a hyperbole. We got a long way to go, but I mean, it would be the best sports moment in Cleveland in my lifetime, right? I think it would. Even though the Cavs championship ended that drought, I think the Browns Super Bowl would surpass that. And most people I know, I think, would feel the same way, at least from an emotional standpoint. We could talk about historical relevance and ending a 51-year drought and all that, but in the way they would do it, and the guy coming out of his quote unquote office couch. It would still be something he would have. I mean, he would be this figure that every time he returned to Cleveland, it would be unbelievable, right? Like, and there aren't that many people like that. There just aren't. So yeah, that would be something else, Judd.
Yeah. And the other thing too is, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, how crazy is it if Flacco were to go to the Super Bowl or even win it? And then Deshaun Watson's still your guy next year. I mean, you can't go away from that, right? You can't, as painful as it might be, I mean, you can't go away from they built their whole franchise around that contract.
Yeah, I mean, you can't for a couple of reasons. The contract is the most obvious, right? You're locked in for 3 more years at $46 million a year. You just can't get away from that. And the reality is, as good as Joe Flacco looks, and it certainly feels like he can play winning football for the next X number of years, he turns 39 in 2 weeks, right? So there's a shelf life to this. I mean, we saw Tom Brady do to what, he was 45. I mean, Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. So, you could make an argument about who would you rather have for the next 2 years, and I would listen to all those arguments. But I think if you're thinking logically and looking at all the factors, and I think over a long period of time, you probably have a better chance of winning with Deshaun Watson, regardless of the fact that you're tied into him for that much money. So. Now who knows? Maybe Flacco will come back as a backup. Maybe, we don't, that's down the road. But I think there's a pretty good chance that it's one and done for Joe Flacco, and he gets a chance to go somewhere else and at least compete for a starting job, and he just wouldn't have that chance here. I think that's the cold hard facts, like you were getting to.
Yeah, I think I got to go back to my question last week, though. I think if Watson was coming back this week and was healthy, I think I'm still riding the Flacco train here in the
Yeah.
playoffs.
Yeah. You know what? Can you imagine that choice, that decision that Kevin Stefanski would have to make? It'd be a tough one. I think you go with, I think you go with the hot hand. You go with Joe Flacco and you see what the offense would do. And, I mean, we've seen the rust on Deshaun Watson the couple times he's come back, right? You have to shift your offense a little bit. Everything's clicking with Flacco. The protection's good. All of it. The defense is, spread across all over the field. I'd agree with you. I think it would be a little bit of a touchy situation, certainly. It would remind me something of that Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe, right, when they won the first Super Bowl in New England. Now, things are different. Bledsoe or Brady was young then. Flacco's old. They could get out of that Bledsoe contract, I believe, because they did. But that similar dynamic, right? Like Bledsoe was the guy, and then all of a sudden this young kid wins a game and wins a playoff game wherever he started winning games, and then you have to go with him, right? So I think they would probably wind up going with Flacco, but it would not be an easy decision or an easy thing for Stefanski to handle And you would have to have Deshaun Watson on board and not make it a thing, right? Where all of a sudden it becomes about him not playing.
Sure. Before we move on, and we have a lot to get to here for the upcoming week, anything else you want to hit on in that game of the win over the Jets? The only thing I wanted to ask again was just how the defense does it again at home. And it just seems like so many guys, multiple players stepping up, Scott.
And the thing that jumped in my head, I mean, we already talked about Flacco and Njoku. I thought the run game, which had been
Yeah.
bad for the previous month, especially the previous 2 weeks, it averaged less than 2 yards a carry. The previous 2 weeks really got going and got going early. And Jerome Ford, I think he went for 5 and 11 and 10 and 16 and for the first 5 carries, really got things going. And you
That
need that,
touchdown by him was amazing.
right? And both of them, and both were catching the ball. And both were breaking tackles, right? Inside the five, inside the 10. I thought he ran as hard as I've ever seen him run. And that bodes well, right? I think it means he's healthy heading into the playoffs. And you just need some balance, right? Like we've seen the pass game be really good under Joe Flacco, but it needed a balance. You get in the playoffs, you don't know what the weather's going to be. You just have to have the defense respect both parts of it. And I thought the run game, particularly Ford, but it wasn't just Ford, it was Hunt and Pierre Strong as well. I thought that was worth noting. And defensively, right, Myles Garrett gets a sack. He draws a hold. I thought Greg Newsome had another good game. He's been playing really well lately. And then, you can't forget Ronnie Hickman, the guy who's got a pick six, the undrafted rookie safety out of Ohio State, gets a pick six, first interception of his career, obviously first touchdown of his career. Another example of how the depth is really showing up for this team. And Jim Schwartz said it today that he thought when that happened, the game was kind of over. And it happened in the first quarter, right? But that's how it felt, like the Browns were playing so well. It's like, okay, this is going to do it.
All right, Scott, now it's time to move on. Obviously, an amazing win over the Jets. And, I think the city's fired up about it, and it's going to last all the way into that playoff game. But we do have one more game. It's kind of crazy to have a game that means nothing for the Browns in a positive way, because we've ended the year so many times where these games mean nothing in substantially, right? Because the season's over. But this is a different ballpark now.
Oh, completely different. And I can't remember, Judd, an example of when the Browns had the option of resting guys. It certainly wasn't in 2020. They needed the win in the finale to beat Pittsburgh. You mentioned Run, William, Run in 2002. They needed to win that finale. So, you're going back to the 90s with Belichick, maybe, although they didn't even win the division that year. So I'm sure they're fighting for a wild card. Or maybe they did to win the division 94. And then at the late 80s. But even then, like, I don't, it wasn't, it didn't seem like a thing where teams were really resting guys back then, maybe isolated incidents. But, we were trying to figure that out the other day, me and Chris Easterling of the Beacon Journal. Like Peyton Manning and the Colts seemed to be one of the first teams that really rested guys. And I think they took some grief for it. So, this could be the first time the Browns have actually had the opportunity to rest guys because the last game has no implication, no bearing on the playoff seeding. So, to me, and I'd like your opinion, Chud, but to me, it makes all the sense in the world, especially given all the injuries the Browns have faced this year. Why would you put Joe Flacco at risk? Why would you put Denzel Ward at risk? Amari Cooper, Joel Bitonio? Like, we can go down the list and we can talk about which guy should and shouldn't play. I feel like Myles Garrett belongs in that sit down and don't risk getting hurt. We'll talk to Myles on Friday, see what he has to say about it. But I just don't think you can risk any of your big guys getting hurt in a game that doesn't mean anything.
Well, you went right to my next question was going to be that. And I heard someone, I don't know if I heard it or saw someone on Twitter say something that, they think the Browns should play Flacco at least a little bit to keep them, keep them going. What's the word I'm looking
Keep
for?
them
To keep
sharp.
them, keep them sharp, keep the momentum going. I completely disagree and 100% agree with you. I don't know why you would play any of your main guys in this game. That is a meaningless game. Have them get hurt. The way I look at it is, are the Ravens gonna go and try to like find some fake game during the bye week? No, they're gonna rest their Right? They
Yeah.
earned the bye. So the Browns have earned this opportunity to rest their guys, especially with their bye week being so long ago. I mean, this couldn't have worked out any better. You give them a week off. You know, I guess I understand a little bit to the degree of you want to keep going, but I don't know, man. And then you consider from it's going all the way from Thursday. I mean, this is a lot of great rest time for guys that are banged up, and we know how banged up this team has been. So, and we've also seen that Flacco, I mean, the guy didn't have a training camp and came right off out of his house and was fine. I just don't see why you would play him in this game. I mean, if he got hurt in the Cincinnati game, your entire playoff is ruined.
Yeah, Chad, I agree with all those points. I think those are all really well said. To me, and the Ravens are going to rest their guys this week, and they have a bye, right? They play the Steelers. The game means something to the Steelers. They still have a chance to make the playoffs, and the Ravens are going to sit Lamar Jackson. They're going to sit OBJ, even though they have a bye coming up. So they're actually going to have, in my opinion, a where you can argue the rust versus rusting. Like their guys are going to have sat for 3 weeks, right? Not having played a game, taking 2 weekends off from playing a game, but they think it's that important to keep their guys healthy, and I completely understand that argument. For the Browns, it's really just a bye week. And how many times during the regular season that, teams get a bye, they don't play on that Sunday, they come out the next week and they're really good, right? Like there's a string. Stefanski, I think, is 3-1 coming off the bye. Andy Reid's got that great record off the bye. Like nobody thinks twice about it, like, oh my gosh, guys forgot how to play because they had the week off. So they're still practicing. Joe Flacco's still out there throwing passes. It just makes too much sense to rest these guys, give them some extra time, especially given everything that they've gone through this year. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree with you. We're on the same page there. Interesting to hear anyone else feel differently about that. But I mean, again, and I just go back to it again. I mean, could you imagine if Garrett or Flacco got hurt in this game in Cincinnati? I can't say it enough. So,
Right.
yeah. All right. So let's get in. What is interesting? Fifth starting quarterback, Scott, in 1 year, Jeff Driscoll. Incredible. I mean, how did this all come about?
Well, you had the DTR, right? Dorian Thompson-Robinson gets hurt against the Texans on Christmas Eve, hurts his hip. And I think when it happened, it was a little under the radar. I mean, it's Christmas Eve. The Browns are winning big. That's when they had all the backups in, and then the Texans scored twice. So then they put the starters back in. I think part of the reason the starters went back in, I think the majority of the reason was because the Texans had made it a game, or at least closed the gap. But part of it was because DTR wound up not, I don't think he'd be able to go back in. And if you rewatch it, he limps off. So they need to bring in a third guy. And, they have PJ Walker. The Browns have won with PJ Walker this year. And, this is not a huge. I don't think this is meant as a huge slight on PJ Walker. I just think the Browns feel like they maximized what they could get out of him. And if you got to bring in a third guy anyway, maybe bring in somebody that has experience with your system, which Jeff Driscoll does. He's 30 years old. He was with Alex Van Pelt in Cincinnati for a couple of years. He comes from Arizona. He's on the Arizona practice squad this year. And Drew Petzing is the coordinator there. And he was the Browns quarterback coach a year ago. So they're running the same system in Arizona as they are in Cleveland. So the system's the same. So it's a smooth transition. And the impression I'm getting is they want to see Driscoll go out there, and then they'll make a determination about who the backup quarterback is in the playoffs. And if it's PJ Walker, all right, it's PJ Walker. If it winds up being Driscoll, maybe he gives him something that Walker doesn't. Now, he's a big guy. He's like 6'4". And I've seen him play, right? Because he played with the Bengals. It's in 2018. He came off the bench for Andy Dalton in a game down in Cincinnati. And then he actually started against the Browns in Cleveland at the end of the season, in 2018. The Browns won that game. I don't remember a whole lot about it. The point is, I've seen him play, whatever, but he's got this reputation as being really athletic. So he's 6'4", he's a big dude, he's like 235. He's an athletic guy. So, I don't know if they think that he can do some of the stuff that DTR did, some of that, quarterback run stuff if they want to change a pace. Maybe they think he's a lot similar body type to Joe Flacco, where it's not an adjustment going to PJ Walker. Maybe he can run all the same play action and bootleg stuff that Joe Flacco does. So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays. Like, if he plays well, then I think there's a discussion. Is he the backup? Can he pick things up that quickly? What have you. So, he's a guy that's, he's a journeyman. He's, like I said, he's 30 years old. Let me find his career record here. It's not, career record's not great, but he's a journeyman. He's mostly a backup. He's 1-9 in his career, 59% completions, 14 touchdowns, 8 picks. So that's not bad. Played one game for the Texans last year, when 0-1 as a starter, but completed 70% of his passes. But he's so athletic that the Texans used him, I think, as a tight end last year. And when he was in Cincinnati, they thought about having him as a receiver. So that's how athletic this guy is. Spent some time with Detroit, some time with Houston when they were bad, right? So it's not like he's been on any great teams. But yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see. For a game that doesn't mean anything, in the standings, it means things to people and all that kind of stuff. But I think there is reason to watch, and I'm curious to see how he looks in this offense.
So the bottom line is that if anything were to happen in Flacco in the playoffs, they would hope this would be their backup.
I kind of think so. I think they like that option, and that's why they want to see what he looks like on Sunday. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
because they could have found a guy to come in and been that third guy, like the emergency guy, right? They could have added a guy to the practice squad, but they went and signed him to the 53-man roster. And those are precious, especially when they're dealing with all the injuries they are. They want to rest guys in this game. So, you can only rest so many guys. So there's going to be guys that have to play. So let's say by having Jeff Driskel on the active roster versus the practice squad, maybe it means player X has to play instead of sit on Sunday. So I do think the Browns think this is an important, that he has a chance to fill an important role. And that's why they're looking to see what he can do against Cincinnati. Yeah, I would not be surprised if we get to, wherever it is, week one of the playoffs, Jacksonville, Houston, Indianapolis, and Driskel's your number two, and PJ Walker's your number three emergency guy.
Let's get to injuries now. A scary moment with Elijah Moore.
Oh.
Positive reports there, right? And how are we looking elsewhere?
Jeez, Chud, I mean, that was really scary. And we've seen concussions. You think of Tua when he, I think it was Tua last year with Miami, where it looked really bad. Well, I mean, Elijah Moore is, he gets his front of his face driven into the ground. It just looked different than other concussions, right? Usually it's the back of the head bounces off the ground. That's part of it. You take a direct shot to the head, and this was, he gets tackled and the front of his face goes into the ground. And then he's on the ground and he's twitching and his head's twitching and his arms are twitching. So really scary. He goes to the hospital, is released the next morning, and then 6 days later he's back at practice, which is remarkable. I don't know if he'll play this weekend or not, but he's out running around. He looks normal to me. When I was watching him run routes, he's been limited the last 2 days, but certainly I would think he's ready for the start of the playoffs, which, I don't know if you would have thought that when you saw how it went against the Jets. So that's good news. Amari Cooper is not going to play against Cincinnati, but I asked him today about the heel. He said he's going to be good to go by the time they get to the playoffs. I think the biggest one to watch, there's a couple to watch. Dustin Hopkins, the kicker, hasn't been out there since he pulled that hamstring against the Texans. Certainly not going to kick against Cincinnati. I think it's questionable. Maybe at the best, it's questionable if he can kick in that first round playoff game, but we'll see better next week. So that's something to keep your eye on. They got Riley Patterson filling in. And then, but Corey Bohorquez is the punter. He should be okay this week. They cut the other punter that had filled in last week. I'm looking at the list here. That's, to me, that's the big one. Dustin Hopkins is the big one. And then Obo Okoronkwo. He's got that
That's what I
torn,
was going to just bring
yeah.
up. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the torn pec. But I don't know if it's fully torn. I tried to ask him today and he goes, hey, I'm not allowed to talk about specifics. But he's practiced the last couple of days, and he said he feels good, and he said he's getting better, and he said he wants to be part of this Super Bowl run. And those are his words.
Is that kind of a surprise? Like when he
Oh,
did you think
yeah.
that maybe he was done?
Well, I did, Chud. I mean, he went and got second opinion and maybe even a third opinion. He was gone from the team for a while, and the hope was that he could figure out a way to play through this. And he tried even when he hurt it against Jacksonville. He played in the fourth quarter, and he could barely lift his arm. But he tried to finish the game. But that's a tough injury. Like, it's probably going to require surgery. Maurice Hurst had the same thing, and he had surgery immediately. So I don't know if Oboe's just isn't as bad. Maybe it's a partial tear, and he's going to try to play through it. But it certainly seems like, I mean, they didn't put him on IR. They've kept his roster spot. I think he might even play Sunday. Like, he talked about wanting to knock some rust off. So I wouldn't be stunned if he were active and got at least a few reps to see how it went. But it's a big boost for the Browns, and I think it's certainly a surprise. And then, like, a guy like Anthony Walker Jr., like, he won't play this week, but I think he's got a chance to play against the Bengals. So I think they're trending in the right direction. We'll find out more about Grant Delpit. Like, this is the last game he needs to miss on IR. He had that groin slash core muscle surgery. It's kind of a 4 to 6 week injury. He'll have missed four games. Is he ready for week one of the playoffs? I think those questions we'll have a better answer to next week.
All right, Scott, I'm going to put you under the gun here with the
Okay.
big question. All right, and I hope you can get this right. The pressure is on.
All right.
What do these five guys have in common? Joel Bitonio, Amari Cooper, Miles Garrett, David Njoku, and Denzel Ward. Do, do, do,
I know this one,
do.
Chud.
All right.
They're all Pro Bowlers.
That's right. You are right. Good job.
Thank you very much. Yeah, how about
How
that?
about
Five
that?
Pro Bowlers, right?
That is awesome. I mean those are the things that come with a season like this. You have guys that are rewarded. It rewards the whole franchise. And I just remember that feeling. And again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but these are the feelings we don't have a lot
Right.
often. So it makes it that much more special and exciting. Congrats to all of them. Well
Yeah,
deserved.
it goes hand in hand, right? Like, you have to have really good players to have this type of season. But then when you have this type of season, those players do get the recognition, right? That sometimes they would. So yeah, Garrett, Bitonio, and Cooper were voted starters. Denzel Ward and Njoku were backups. And then there's a ton of alternates. Bohorquez, Hopkins, Delpit, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, center Ethan Posick, right guard Wyatt Teller were alternates. And you can make a case for all those guys. Bitonio was talking today, and he thought Hopkins and JOK were the biggest snubs, which is interesting because I really do think JOK has had a breakthrough season. But the problem with him is the voting, they classify him as an outside linebacker. So you fall into the same category as a guy like TJ Watt, who's a completely different position player, right? He's a pass rusher. JOK is an off-the-ball guy. But they get lumped in together. There's not just the edge rusher, which then would put TJ Watt in the same category as Myles Garrett. And then Hopkins loses out to Justin Tucker. The Baltimore kicker, he might be the best kicker ever. And he's had a good year and he's on the best team in the AFC. But he hasn't had the same year Dustin Hopkins has. Hopkins has been better. I think it's understandable why people would pick Tucker, but Hopkins had the better year.
Yeah, what a fantastic year for him. And congrats again to all the guys. That leads me into this next one. Garrett unanimously voted the Browns Player of the Year by you guys, the local media, and Joel Bitonio wins the Good Guy Award. And we already talked about him the other week about he's your go-to guy. No surprise there.
No, and Garrett is the unanimous. It means something to be unanimous, right? Because there's, I don't know how many people vote on this. Let's call it 15. I don't know. To get everybody to have the same opinion is not easy. You've been in that room, Chud. And there's other guys, like, you can make an argument for. You could probably make an argument for Joe Flacco. You can make an argument for Dustin Hopkins. Like, they belong in that discussion. But nobody has played better over the whole season than, in my opinion, had a bigger impact than Myles Garrett, right? Which is probably why he's going to be Defensive Player of the Year. At least he's the betting favorite right now to be Defensive Player of the Year. So you can't be Defensive Player of the Year and not win your team MVP, right? That would be hard to do. So I thought that made all the sense in the world. And there were a bunch of guys nominated for the good guy because it's a pretty good locker room to deal with from a media perspective. Anthony Walker Jr.'s, I voted him number two behind Betonio. Or I take that back. He would have been my third. I voted Greg Newsom the second, number two, because he's always in the locker room. He's always available. We'll talk to you anytime. And that's, you've done this job, Judd. It's you appreciate when guys are available, when they give you good quotes, when they sit and talk to you and aren't a pain and don't say, hey, I'm only talking for 10 minutes a week at the podium. And Betonio, Walker, Newsom, Njoku was on that list, are guys that don't do that, and you can get them at their locker, and they're really good. You get them after losses, right? That's another kind of criterion. And Betonio's like the best of that.
Yeah, I've definitely been there, and it makes it so much easier when the guys are accessible and also when they are accountable. I understand you're frustrated after losses and things happen and everyone's human and you have stuff that happens in your daily life. But I and Scott, I've experienced it with all the teams. I mean, NBA with the Cavs, on Major League Baseball side of it, all college football. How about guys that are amazing are NASCAR guys. Believe it or not,
I
it's
believe
been a
that.
long time, but they're always very easy to talk to and are always there. So I get it. I mean, you're dealing with and managers and coaches that you deal with as well. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Definitely, I'm sure you could share a lot of stories. But we don't have time for that now. We need to move on. I did want to hit on this before we get on to the I got two more subjects to hit with you, obviously the picks and all that. But before we get to that, I just wanted to see if you had anything to say about Frank Ryan. One of the best Browns of all time, passed away at the age of 87. Last Browns championship, 1964, and he was the man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that says it there, Chud, is in 64, he was a quarterback that was three touchdowns to Gary Collins, right? Is they upset the Colts, the last championship for this team. So, yeah, he's got a huge place in franchise history, right? He's not a Hall of Famer, so he's not in the Ring of Honor. I assume he's in the Legends. I would have to look into that. He definitely should be. I think he's probably should be considered for the Ring of Honor. Just because you're the quarterback on that last championship team. So yeah, he's one of the guys that needs to be recognized when you talk about this franchise and the history of this franchise. And he's got a really interesting story. He worked on his PhD while he was playing, becomes, gets his doctorate, was the AD, athletic director at Yale. He did all kinds of stuff off the field when he was done playing. Super smart guy. It was a big loss for, kind of the bigger picture of Brown's organization.
All right. Thanks for that tribute there. Wow, that was a great time to be a Browns fan, certainly. And we hope that, that it is the time now, right? As we get to the playoffs. And I guess we'll transition into that. Scott, who do you want to play? I mean, we know that they've locked in the fifth seed, which we've talked about before. If you weren't going to win your division, that's the spot you want. I think it's amazing that they get that spot and they play the winner of the AFC South. And quite frankly, would rather play any of these three possibilities than maybe anyone else in the playoff field. Would you agree with that?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Now, I think, I think the Chiefs are vulnerable. Miami looks vulnerable having, what they did Sunday, what happened to them Sunday in Baltimore. They lose Bradley Chubb. Tua's banged up a little bit. Buffalo has been up and down all year. But yeah, if you had your choice, it would be, and you have to go on the road, it would be to one of those AFC South teams. Now, I think you can rank them, but it would certainly be the AFC South.
So in that regard, which of the three do you want? I mean, rank them one, two, three.
I think you go, if you're saying easiest game for the Browns to win, I would go Colts. And I'd probably go Colts, Texans, Jaguars. And it's interesting because the Browns have beaten all three this year, right? Kevin Stefanski's, I think he's 10 and 0,
He
right?
owns the AFC
Yeah,
South.
10 and 0 against AFC South.
Right.
The toughest game was probably against the Colts, but that was also the Deshaun Watson starts and gets hurt, and then PJ Walker comes in. They give up 38, which the Browns defense is the worst, probably the worst game the Browns defense has played this year. And it's not like Gardner Minshew's bad, but I think if you rank the quarterbacks, I think I'd put Minshew below Trevor Lawrence and CJ Stroud. So that's why I would go Colts. I think their roster's not as strong. I'd probably go Houston next, although Houston would be a different team with Stroud than the one the Browns saw a couple weeks ago on Christmas Eve. I think the Browns could win in all three spots, but that's how I would rank them.
Yeah, I think interesting you answer that way. I think the Colts is the layup number one team you want to face. They already won in Indianapolis. Of those three teams, I think that's the one you root for. If you didn't have Stroud, then I think it would be the Texans. But I think the debate between the Texans Jags is a good one, and I think you and I are on the same point. I think I'd be a little nervous going to Houston facing Stroud. That said, Jacksonville has a little more experience, and I think it all comes down to Trevor Lawrence. I mean, if he's healthy, I think that I'd put them number one. If he's not healthy, I would put them number two. I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And he's dealing with the shoulder injury. He didn't play last week, limited the
Right.
last 2 days, the last 2 days in practice this week. Now they go to Tennessee on Sunday afternoon. And if they win, they're in Jacksonville. We'll know Saturday night who would make it if Jacksonville falters in Tennessee, because Houston and Indy play Saturday night. So that's worth watching. Do a little advanced scouting to see if that's one of the teams, or if that's the team the Browns will face next week. And then you got to wait till 1 o'clock, and we'll be watching the Bengals game from Cincinnati, keeping an eye on that Jacksonville game, because then you get it, then you'll know, right? Then we'll know Sunday at 4 o'clock where the Browns are going to go. We'll probably know later Sunday when the Browns go. It could be Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. It's always a net TV thing. If I had to guess, I guess the Browns play Saturday, but that's just a guess. And we'll find out if we're going to Jacksonville, if we're going to Indy, or getting on a plane for Houston.
Yeah, I was looking at it online the other day, the format. There's two games on Saturday, three on Sunday, then one on Monday, right? You got the Monday night football game. So it seems like the AFC South, you always on a Saturday. I mean, how many times have you seen Texans Bengals or
Right.
the AFC South team on the Saturday? And I'm sure, the Browns do give. I think the Browns, as they move along and get better, they'll get more of the TV exposure in that regard. But I think being that it's been a long time since they've been in the playoffs and it's who they match up against. I mean, like if it was Browns Chiefs or Browns Bills, that'd be one thing. But Browns versus the AFC versus the AFC South team, I don't think gives as much zing, I guess, to be on Sunday. Because I think what they probably do is they look at that Saturday night game, the Monday night game, and the Sunday 4 o'clock game. Oh, and then there's Sunday night
Tonight,
football.
yeah.
Yeah, so I think I guess what I'm saying is I think the two lowest ones are the 1 o'clock Sunday and the 4 o'clock or 4:30 on Saturday.
Yeah,
So
that's interesting. You're probably right. I for sure think Sunday night's number one. Sunday at four is probably number two.
yeah.
Monday night number three, and then I think you'd probably argue Saturday night or Sunday at one is the fourth game. And yeah, I think like the Browns are a good story. Joe Flacco's a great story. I think it's more about the matchup. I don't think either any of those AFC South teams are sexy. And then who else you're going against, right? Like Dallas is going to be in a primetime game, right? Philly's a big market. They'll probably be in a primetime game. Can't Mahomes is a good draw. I mean, it could be, it's going to be Mahomes versus Miami or Buffalo, right? So either way, that's a big time matchup. You figure that's either prime time or 4 o'clock, right? So the Browns are kind of down that pecking order, and I do think a lot of that's just because they're playing a soft team.
Yeah, because Dallas is going to get one of the big ones, no question, regardless of who they play. So, but I think you're probably looking at Saturday, but Needless to say, it's going to be exciting. So let's look at this final game. You know, I didn't. Let's see. We both got the prediction right last week. So let's see. I forgot to write it down, but the Browns are
11-5.
11-5, and I think you're. Let's see. You are. Are you 11-5 or are you 12-4?
I think I might be 12-4.
You're 12-4. I'm 11-5. You jumped up one on me. So
Woo.
Browns are 11-5. You're 12-4, and I'm 11-5. So here we go. This is a tough one, man. I mean,
Yeah.
how do you even predict this game? I mean, the Bengals -7. They have nothing to play for, but they're at home and they're probably playing more of their starters than the Browns will. The Browns are going to not play their starters, or at least most of them, right? I mean, what is the ratio, by the way? Did you hit that earlier? I can't remember.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I hit it exactly. The problem is you can't rest everybody because
Can't rest everyone,
you
right?
only have 48 guys active, right? So I think there's probably 10 guys that sit, 10 of your main guys, and then you kind of got to play everybody else or at least have everybody ready to play. Like I could see a guy like Jerome Ford, the running back, being active and dressed, but Pierre Strong and maybe even bring up somebody from the practice squad, get a bunch of the carries. But if you need him, you go to Jerome Ford. And you could probably say that for several positions, like a guy like JOK. Like I don't like I think JOK is so important that I would try to rest him. But, do you have enough bodies? Do you need him to play a couple snaps? Or do you need him just in case he needs to play some snaps? Something like that. So I'm guessing 10 to 12 guys just shut down and then everybody
Yeah,
else has to
10 to
be around.
so about 10 to 12, everyone else around. You're not going to be showing too much of your playbook. I mean, that said, I mean, you've seen a whole season of the playbook, but you know what I mean. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think they're going to be doing a lot of crazy stuff offensively. That said, Driscoll's going to want to win, man. He's a human being. He's a quarterback that's going to want to prove himself. So, you know, it's just a matter of how much talent's around him, you know, and how much the Bengals care. I don't know. It's a tough one. I mean, over under's 37 and a half. So I think you're up first. So we'll start with
Yeah,
you.
I mean it's really hard, Judd. Here's what I'm going with. Stefanski keeps stressing how they want to win, right? That it's the number one goal this week is we want to win. And while the Bengals, I think they're going to play more of their guys, like you mentioned. I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to play. He said today he thought he was going to play. I just think the Bengals are done, right? And I think there's an emotional letdown. I don't think there's going to be much of a crowd. And I think the Browns are riding high. So I'm going to take the Browns. I don't know how it's going to play out. Like, I don't know if Driscoll throws the ball a bunch. I don't know if Stefanski hands it off a bunch. Like gets it go, let's get this game over quick. If you run it, you just run in the line, not much can happen. And if that, if they go three and out a bunch, then I could be wrong. But I do think they want to see what Driscoll looks like. So I'm going to go Browns 23-22.
23-22.
Yeah, and no, I just made that up.
Yeah, obviously that's an odd score.
Yeah,
I don't know if we've ever had a 23-22. My gosh. All right, so Petrak going Browns. Hold on, let me get my quarter real
right.
quick so I can, yeah. Or no,
Hey,
I have
Romeo.
another I have another idea how I'm going to go about this. Pretty simple. And I'm an honest guy, Scott. I'm going exactly opposite of you. Whatever you picked, I was going the other way. It's that simple
Yeah, I did
because,
it.
right?
Yeah.
Because if the Bengals win now, we both finish 12-5, right?
Yep.
So if you would have gone Bengals, I was going to go Browns. So honestly, who can really know? I think you give the best analysis of it, and I thought about that this week. You're right. I mean, you're going to want to keep the momentum going, as you mentioned, Stefanski said, and I think you want to keep on that positive note. You have a chance to win 12 games. And I think they're going to try to find a way to win this game and stay healthy at the same time. Just kind of keep the momentum going and health going. So I think that's a great point by you. I think that you could definitely be right. But the one thing I will point to is the fact that the Bengals are favored by 7. And you know
Yeah,
how I feel about the Lions in Vegas. So that does give me a little bit of feeling that maybe the Bengals pull this off. They play some of their starters and at home, maybe they get the win. But regardless, I don't have a strong feeling either way. I could honestly go either way, but I'll go Bengals 20-17. Don't write me any hate emails or anything like that because
yeah.
This is simply just to try to tie Scott Petrak. Because here's the bottom line. Next year, when we preview the season and we look back, no one's going to ask me how I tied you. They're just going to ask me that I tied you.
Well, you know, and it's not over, Joe. We got playoff games to pick, or at
We
least
got,
a
well,
playoff
that's
game to
true.
pick. So, but
Yeah.
I, but you're, I mean, your reasoning makes all the sense in the world for sure.
Yeah. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not picking against the Browns in the first playoff game. I'm just gonna tell you that right now. There's no way I'm gonna watch that game picking the team from the AFC South and going against our Brownies, right?
No, I mean, that's where I'm leaning now. Now, you know, who knows what could happen in a week, but I'm with you. I mean, I the Browns, and I think I saw a line somewhere where the Browns would be an underdog, like a 3-point underdog, at least at Jacksonville. And that surprises me a little bit. Yeah, but I, you know, yeah, I'm leaning toward picking the Browns in that first round matchup. Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, I think you're probably right about this game Sunday, too, Chad. I think you're right about Vegas and the spread. I mean, Jake Browning's played pretty well. He's not going to want to go out there and end on a bad note. You got Ja'Marr
Right.
Chase playing. Tyler Boyd could be his last game with Cincinnati. Like, they could come out, score a couple early, and the Browns just run it. And, you know, of course, then it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't matter, period. But it really wouldn't matter if the Browns get down 14-0 and just say, oh, you know, going to hand off and get out of here healthy. And I could completely understand that. But I think they could also, you know, have something happen and hang around. And, you know, I don't know who's going to play on defense. But this defense is pretty good, right? Even when they're missing some pieces. So it's going to be interesting.
Scott, just to show you how much I have Browns fever right now and how much I love you, I am off this week and still found time to do the pod
See,
with
I
you.
know.
All
That's why
right.
you're the, that's why you're the best, Chuck.
So if you haven't seen me on this in the mornings, I've been off this week. I'll be back Monday to talk about the Browns Bengals and look forward to the Browns versus the AFC South opponent. Here we go. Let's do this. My kids are pumped up. Everyone, I mean, my wife's never been so into the Browns watching these games. I mean, hey, we are ready to go, and I know all of Cleveland is.
Yeah, this gives us this game in Cincinnati kind of gives you the longer ramp up, right? You get 2 weeks
Yeah.
to really build up, you know, to that playoff game, and it's going to be here before we know it. Especially if it's a Saturday game and you get that
Yeah.
turnaround from Sunday to Saturday, it's going to be like it'll feel, especially for me. You know, it'll feel breakneck trying to get everything done and get everything covered that we need to get covered and fly down to Jacksonville on Friday, like all that stuff, right? It's gonna come fast and furious.
And one thing to think about too is the
Wherever.
team that you play, that if it's the Colts or Texans, they'll have a whole week off if they play on Saturday, where the
Exactly.
Jags, they'll have one less day.
That's
I
true.
feel like they obviously looked at that Saturday game and wanted playoff implications, right? Obviously, the Bills Dolphins was going on Sunday Night Football. I mean, that's the biggest game of the week, right? And what a huge difference to win that division or not, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Right. You host
So, yeah.
you get the wild card team. Yeah, that's a big game. And the Dolphins, they're crumbling a little bit, right? Like you can see some cracks in that
Yeah,
armor.
they
So
are.
it's in Buffalo's been playing well, although they barely beat New England. That's an interesting game. I haven't picked that one yet this week. That's gonna be an interesting one to pick.
Boy, this pod just won't end because I
I
just
know.
thought of something
You
else. I
keep
mean,
coming up with
where
stuff.
I do, like, where would you put the Browns in the pecking order right now? Like, I mean,
Yeah.
I think you got, oh man, I mean, Ravens won, and then like, are you going Bills or Chiefs next? And then, or could you put the Browns in that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, if you look from like a Vegas perspective, I think the Browns are fourth or fifth betting
Mm-hmm.
favorite in the AFC. You know, it's Ravens, Chiefs, and it's probably Miami, Buffalo, if I had to guess, and then Cleveland. You know, here's what I think. I think it's Ravens number one, and then there's a whole bunch of teams, right? Like, I think Kansas City's vulnerable, like we talked about. We talked about Miami. Buffalo's been up and down all year. Like, I think the Ravens are the number one team, and then the next four teams, right, are kind of in that. I think you could win. I think the Browns could beat any of those teams. And then I think it's a drop-off to the AFC South and the other two wildcard teams, or the other wildcard team. So
could you
that's how I see it.
imagine Browns versus Ravens in a playoff game? The city that stole our team
Yeah.
and Flacco
And the
against the
Flacco.
Ravens.
Right. I
That
mean,
would be amazing.
and it could happen week two, it could happen divisional round, depending on how it falls out. It could also happen AFC Championship game, right? Depending on how it shakes out. So, I mean, Flacco in Baltimore with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line, that would be unbelievable, Chuck.
Yeah, it really would be. All right, well, enjoy the game Sunday, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good, Chuck. I really appreciate it. And we will talk next week of a playoff game to preview. I don't know. Were we doing this in 2020? I don't feel like – I'm not sure we were. Did we do this?
Okay,
we did. I can't even remember, Chuck. My life's a blur. Actually, we probably did because I remember having I don't know, man.
I've been doing this 2 years or 3 years with you. I don't know.
That was 4 years ago.
20. Yeah, maybe. Right? Trying to think.
I don't think we did it that year.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. I think we might have started the next year. So anyway.
21, 22, 20. Yeah, this is probably our third year. Right? Doing it.
Yeah, so we could be doing our first playoff podcast. That's pretty cool.
How about that? That'll be fun.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you, Chud, as always. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been another episode of the Zone Coverage Podcast. And you can create all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks.